The Holy Gospel according to John, the 20th chapter. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." Then Peter and the other disciple set out and went toward the tomb. The two were running together. But the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent down to look in and saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen wrappings lying there and the cloth that had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple, who reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture, that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples returned to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb, and she saw two angels in white, sitting where the body of Jesus had been lying, and one at the head and the other at the feet. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means "and teacher." Jesus said to her, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to the Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, 'I am ascending to my God, to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God.'" Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. The Gospel and of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And certainly a welcome to you all. It is good to celebrate such a wonderful event on such a wonderful day with friends and loved ones. It is indeed a great gift. We know the story well, and for good reason. All four of the gospel writers, when they tell the story of Jesus, include these basic things. The women get to the tomb first. They are intending to finish the job of burying Jesus. They come to anoint him. When they get there, the stone has been rolled back from the tomb. What they find there is an empty tomb. At some point, there will be, for lack of a better term, heavenly visitors of some sort, perhaps one, perhaps two, who proclaim that Jesus is risen. None of this is clear to anybody. After the women, then the disciples come. At least a couple of them, they too see that the tomb is empty. It's interesting that it's just John, who in this particular text includes this very first post-resurrection appearance of Jesus Christ on that particular morning when in the garden Mary thinks that all hope is lost, and she can't even find the body when Jesus is standing right there. It's a wonderful story, and one that needs to be told and should be told, not just every year, once a year, but we should remind ourselves of these great things day in and day out. Of course, the problem with the story is that it's oftentimes an open-ended. You go to a movie with some friends or your family, and on the way home, you ask, "So what did you think about it?" And they will have an opinion, or they'll have and something that they think was important in this particular story. You might have and something completely different. And that's good. That's the way and stories work. But certainly at some point, it might be a good idea to actually ask, what does this mean? Especially if you're Lutheran. What does this mean? We have been blessed because we have one who tells us. Paul, when he writes in this wonderful and incredible chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, tells us, at least in his opinion, what this means. If for this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are of all people most to be pitied. If this is all there is, then our priorities just don't quite work right. If this is all there is, then it is dog eat dog, and it is true that the one who dies with the most toys wins. That's oftentimes what the world itself would inform us of, and we are at times at least intrigued by such a word. But as people of faith, we know that there is more. If this were the case, Paul says, we would be of all people most to be pitied, for we're spending our life and efforts in something fruitless. However, Paul says, but in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. Paul knew this because he had seen Jesus himself on the road to Damascus. As Jesus sometimes does, Jesus just shows up and says, "Here I am, get over it and get on with your life." And certainly Paul did. He had his life turned upside down. This is not a fruitless endeavor. Paul specifically says twice in this text, this is the first fruits of those who have died. This is not just about a resurrection that took place in a tomb on the edges of Jerusalem, but this is about so much more. Because even in the tradition of first fruits, it was understood there's more to come. The understanding was that the first things, the first a person that is born to a family, the first fruits, the first of anything, ultimately belongs to God. Of course, we know the rest does too, but the point is that the offering was given in such a way that we remind ourselves of this. God is the one who acts first. And so in this, Jesus is the first fruits. But there's more to come. Because Paul says, just as by one person as all die in Adam, so all will be made alive in Christ. That this is not just about one little event back there, but it points to something bigger and better and expanding and growing in outreach and in numbers and in sheer grace, that God's power over death is going to touch us all. This is the news that we carry, that this has indeed been something that affects us. Now, for this life and only, as Paul says, there are limitations. There will be times that we do indeed face death. And in fact, we will all one day die. My wife was a chaplain in a nursing home once and asked the people there after she'd heard a news report on the radio that, and scientists were expecting that within just a handful of years, they're going to find the key to turning off that age gene, and then we'll all live to be 100 or 200 or 300. And so she turns to these people, and half of them are there in wheelchairs, and a quarter of them get there on their walkers, and they sort of all come into the dining room there for Bible study. And she asks them what they think. The entire place broke up. They said to themselves, who would ever want to do something as stupid as that? Now, granted, we love being around our loved ones. This is a real treat today. And besides that, bacon is included. But there's something more important, and we know it. There's much more to come. This is the resurrection news, that there is more to come. And even when all is said and done, and when the end of time comes, and when it comes to that point that whatever's going to happen is going to happen, Paul says this will be included. Then comes the end when Christ hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed every ruler and every authority and power. For he must reign until he puts all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. We carry with us the seeds of life in our hearts by God's grace, in faith, in the faith that we claim together, that God is never done until that final day. When even those who have died early, those who have suffered, those who have gone through great tribulation, all people together will be given life in Jesus Christ. Amen.